Radha-madhava Kunja-vihari Jaya. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya, Prabhupada, Jaya. Samabhata Bhakta Vindiki Jai Go Premanandi. All glories to the Sam of the Bodhis. All glories to the Sam of the Bodhis. All glories to the Sam of the Bodhis. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vete Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shimari Bhakta Vedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Saraswata Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvashesha Shunyavadi Vasachari Shatadane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nachananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shrimasri Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 55. Visrijita hirayam na yasya sakshat. Adir avasabhihito pyan agauga nasa. Pranaya rasanaya drata angri padma. Sabhavati bhagavata pradana uktaha.
Yes, the doctor.
Visrajati, he leaves Hrudayam, the heart, na, never, yasya, of whom, sakshat, himself, Hari, Lord Hari, avasa, accidentally, abhihita, called, api, even though, aga, of sins, oga, heaps, nasa, who destroys, pranaya, of love, rasanaya, by ropes, dhrita, held, angri padma, his lotus feet, sa, he, bhavati, is, bhagavata pradana, the foremost devotee, ukta, called. Translation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon him by speaking his holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of God could never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who is thus captured, the Supreme Lord within his heart, is to be known as Bhagavata Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. Purport, according to Srila Sridhar Swami, the essence of a pure devotee's qualifications is given in this verse. A pure devotee is one who has attracted the Lord by his love, so that the Lord cannot give up the devotee's heart. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the word sakshat in this verse indicates that a pure devotee has realized knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, having given his heart to the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is all attractive in six opulences, including beauty. A pure devotee can never be attracted by the fleshy bags of women's breasts or by the hallucinations of so-called society, friendship, and love within the material world. Therefore, his clean heart becomes a suitable abode for the Supreme Lord. A gentleman will live only in a clean place. He will not live in a polluted, contaminated place. Educated people in the Western countries are now greatly protesting the pollution of water and air by urban industrial enterprises. People are demanding the right to live in a clean place. Similarly, Lord Krishna is the supreme gentleman, and therefore he will not live in a polluted heart, nor will he appear within the polluted mind of a conditioned soul. When a devotee surrenders to Lord Krishna and becomes a lover of the Lord by direct realization of Krishna's all-attractive nature, the Lord makes his residence in the clean heart and mind of such a pure devotee. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, ya etadrasa pranayaya vams, tena nena tu sarvada parama vasanaiva kirtyamana sutaram eva agauga nasa syat. If a devotee is absorbed in the loving transcendental service of Krishna, directly or indirectly, he is always glorifying the Lord by transcendental loving service. Therefore, even if he chants the holy name of Krishna with improper attention, due to being absorbed in the Lord's service, the mercy of the Lord purifies his heart of all sinful reactions. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, etan nirvidyamananam ichatam akutobhayam yoginam nirpa nirnitam harer nam anukirtanam. O King, constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental realization. Therefore, if one has not come to the platform of loving devotional service, if one who has not come to the level of the platform of loving devotional service chants the holy name of Krishna, he will
also be gradually freed from all sinful reactions. The sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the purports to the history of Ajamil, Srila Prabhupada elaborately explained the holy name's potency to purify even an ordinary person. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has nicely explained the process of bringing the Supreme Lord under control. Mother Yasoda bound the child Krishna to a grinding mortar with a rope. Krishna, being attracted by the inconceivable love of his devotees, allowed himself to be bound. Therefore, although Lord Krishna binds all the conditioned souls by the chains of his illusory potency, Maya, if those same conditioned souls become pure devotees of the Lord, they can, in turn, bind Krishna by the chains of love of Godhead. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the world's inauspicious conditions due to sinful activities can be immediately eradicated by the chanting of the Lord's holy name. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never leaves the hearts of those who give up all sinful behavior and chant his holy name. Even if such chanting is not yet perfect, devotees who always remain in the Lord's service will gradually come to the stage of prema nishtha, or steady love of Godhead. Then they are to be considered maha bhagavatas, or pure devotees of the Lord. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, 11th Canto, 2nd Chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, titled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind to the conditioned souls that if they call upon Him by speaking His holy name, even unintentionally or unwillingly, the Lord is inclined to destroy innumerable sinful reactions in their hearts. Therefore, when a devotee who has taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet chants the holy name of Krishna with genuine love, the Supreme Personality of God can never give up the heart of such a devotee. One who has thus captured the Supreme Lord within his heart is to be known as Bhagavata Pradhana, the most exalted devotee of the Lord. So here we have this last verse, again referring to the Uttama devotee, Bhagavata Pradhana in this case. So this refers to the Uttama devotee who has surrendered completely to the lotus feet of the Lord with great affection. He gets praised because of his absorption in the Lord. However, it also mentions that even if accidentally one happens to chant the name of the Lord, still he destroys all sins. And so we can see that the Lord is attracted to bhakti at all stages, even accidental bhakti. So what to speak of people who chant intentionally with some devotion, and maybe a little devotion, maybe slightly more. Still, there is some contamination there. Still, the Lord is attracted to those devotees, and therefore he responds to them in different ways. And if he's 100% attracted to the Lord, as explained here, then he brings the Lord under control. He captures the Lord in his heart. The Lord never leaves him at all. So, in other words, the Lord is attracted in all cases to bhakti and anything related to bhakti, even if it is not done with an intention of bhakti, as long as it's not aparad. So it's accidental, it's neutral, but somehow it's connected with the Lord. That has a great effect. Of course, we can say it's not to the credit of the person because he's not doing it intentionally. Yet the Lord is so merciful that even if there's accidental contact with devotion, the Lord is very excited. And he does something for that devotee. But it's not the highest effect. So the lowest effect we can say is that accidental bhakti will destroy karmas. And so you get some satisfaction that way. Less disturbance in the material world. Less pain to your body, etc. But that, of course, is not the goal of one who is seriously practicing bhakti. But it's a side effect also. So whatever happens for the accidental bhakti also happens for the person who performs bhakti intentionally. Also, the piles of sins get destroyed also. But the one who practices intentionally with devotion, then he gets something more than that. Huh? So, ultimately, of course, the Lord resides in his heart. He brings the Lord under his control. And the person is completely absorbed in the Lord and bliss. So that's the real result. Huh? So this we call prema. That is the stage called prema. So we can say that's the final result, bhakti as the final result. But we also have bhakti as the means to get to that result. That's sadhana bhakti or upaya bhakti. But it's not different. It's the same process. That is favorable cultivation of a relationship with the Lord, Krishna anusilanam. So with a favorable attitude of liking the Lord, we do bhakti to him. So that is what we call bhakti. Now, people that do accidental bhakti, it's not favorable, nor is it unfavorable. So there is still some result there. So this is the accidental bhakti. You accidentally chant the name of the Lord, you get some effect. But we don't call that real bhakti. So bhakti means favorably we're trying to serve the Lord with a liking for the Lord, not neutrally. But we actually have some inclination for the Lord and we try to serve him. This inclination is perfect in prema. In sadhana, it is not perfect in the sense it's not completely spontaneous and there are contamination of material desires, etc. So we call that sadhana bhakti if one is doing it with that favorable attitude towards the Lord, and we're also trying to get rid of all the desires for other things. So that is called sadhana. And when all the other desires are completely removed and the bhakti is only for the Lord, then we call that prema. So that's the final result. But the process to get there is called sadhana. But that sadhana has to be done in a particular way, as I mentioned the other day, that is, according to the principle of uttama bhakti, anya abhilasha shunya jnana karma janavartam. Then you get to that stage of prema. Bhakti has many stages, but in all these stages one gets effect from accidental bhakti to the beginning stage of sadhana bhakti. We get effects, and the more we progress, then the better result we get. Until we get to prema itself. So we can do accidental bhakti, and then we can get to strike karmas. If we do enough accidental bhakti, we can get faith in pure bhakti. However, due to different association, sometimes we may get not faith in pure bhakti, but faith in mixed bhakti. So that's another type of bhakti. Still, the Lord is attracted to that also. So whether you have all desires or no desires or whatever, desire for liberation, still you should perform bhakti. And the Lord has some interest in that. So you get effects in that also. But there's also a borderline where such bhakti also becomes offensive. So when that bhakti is mixed with jnana, with a strong desire to merge into God, then it becomes offensive because we think of the Supreme Lord as a means to get to liberation and that the form of the Lord is ultimately material, so therefore it's inferior. So this becomes offensive. So therefore that type of mixed bhakti can lead to offensive bhakti also, and then we don't even get liberation as a result of that. Well, to speak of liberation, we don't even get that, and we don't get prema, definitely. And if we have karma misra bhakti, but again we're so attracted to the material enjoyment we get out of bhakti, then again we may think of the Lord as only the bestower of material benedictions. That's his limit. And therefore, again, that becomes offensive, that he's just a devata like anybody else. So that mixed bhakti has the negative effect of becoming aparada at a certain stage if we associate with the wrong persons. On the other hand, if we do the mixed bhakti and we associate with people doing pure bhakti, then we can come to the stage of pure bhakti in sadhana. Then we get a better result than those doing mixed bhakti. So the result of the pure bhakti ultimately is we get prema. The result of the mixed bhakti is, if we continue the mixed bhakti without offense, then we can ultimately get salokya or shantarasa or something like that. That's the ultimate. And if it's less than that, if it is very little bhakti and a lot of karma yoga, then we can elevate ourselves in the material world and possibly we can get moksha. But nevertheless, the process of bhakti is very, very powerful, so it has effect in any case. But if we want the highest effect, then we have to follow proper process. So we have to come at least to the madhyama stage. So that madhyama stage means we can practice pure bhakti as a sadhana. Through that, we get to prema, the final result as described here. And then one is in complete bliss and satisfaction in a relationship with the Lord. So this devotee is called Bhagavata Pradhana, the main type of devotee, the chief type of devotee, because it's the best, it's the final goal of the other devotee, the devotee practicing sadhana. So in this sense, a chief in the sense that it's not that there's more of them, but there is. This is the ideal stage of bhakti and the ideal stage of the devotee, the ideal position of the devotee. In this way, what we should learn from this is that at least we have to be madhyama and get the proper knowledge so we can practice bhakti properly in association with devotees, and then we can get to the final stage, the uttama stage. What's that?
The first tinge of jnana and yoga, can it be classified as a kanishta or can be?
Yeah, well, they may be. They may be. The kanishta has not got a very clear idea. But if that kanishta has mixed bhakti with offense in it, then we wouldn't classify him as a kanishta, because then he couldn't get to the next stage, because he's thinking, I want to merge into the Lord, or I want to give up the Lord and merge into Brahman, etc., through the bhakti. Then that type of kanishta would not be the one. So when generally talk about kanishta, we say that it's not offensive, at least. Maybe mixed, but it's not offensive.
What do we call bhakta then? He's not a bhakta. Means one was surrendered to the Supreme Lord, personal form. If he has an impersonal attitude, he should not.
Well, that's why I say it's mixed. It's mixed bhakti. It's not pure bhakti.
Should not even be called bhakti then.
Huh? Well, then at a certain extent, it also becomes offensive. So then it becomes upper. It's not real bhakti actually. So Bhaktivinoda calls that pratibimba abhas, bhakti abhas, or nama abhas. Pratibimba meaning it's not. The form of bhakti is very distorted at that stage. So actually it's aparad. It looks like bhakti, and they're doing the same activities of bhakti, and they're worshipping the Lord, but they get a completely different result.
This aparad is different from the Vaishnava aparad.
This is aparad against the name and Krishna, because they have false conceptions of Krishna. They don't believe in Krishna's form, etc. They don't believe in the absolute name is not different from the Lord.
But it appears in the purport there is a mention about a loving devotee being inattentive to the holy name. But how to reconcile it, Maharaj? A loving devotee being inattentive? Someone who loves Krishna, how will he be inattentive to anything other than Krishna?
Well, if we're in sadhana, then we're not perfect, obviously. In prema, then there's constant absorption in the Supreme Lord. So that's the goal. But in sadhana, we do have anartas, the senses are not completely controlled, etc. So there may, in the beginning especially, there's a struggle. So therefore, there is not a constant attention to the Lord. There may be inattention.
Also, Maharaj, to consider Krishna as a bestower of material benedictions is an offense, Maharaj mentioned in the class now. And a sadhaka may not look at Krishna as a bestower of material benedictions. He may take a lot of material benedictions, but he is conscious that he can bestow much more, but I don't have a desire to do that. I don't have a desire to look for higher benediction spiritual. I am conscious that he can bestow spiritual world, prema, everything. But my desire is to look for limited, my material. In that sense, is it...
So the Lord will give those things.
It's not offensive. It's not offensive.
And hopefully he can advance by association. Yeah.
It said that the name, form and the Lord himself, they are all absolute. So when somebody accidentally changes the name, the Lord is present absolutely there. Why he is not giving up himself fully? That means he is partial to the devotees.
And why was not giving up
himself fully, like what he gives up to the devotees?
Well, ye tam prapadyate tam sataiva bhajamyaham. According as you surrender unto me, I respond. Huh? So if the one devotee surrenders completely, he gets the same result as someone who doesn't surrender completely, then you would criticize the Lord as being unjust. That we give the criminals as much mercy as we give the people that are following the law. So then that wouldn't be just either. So.
But the devotees cannot be criticizing, because they are always accepting whatever the mercy the Lord gives. Why they should be envious about the Lord giving full mercy to somebody who just chants the name accidentally?
Yeah, well, they're not envious or anything, but the idea is that sometimes the Lord does give complete mercy, as he does to Putana or somebody like that, but that's an exceptional case. But if he were to constantly do that, it would become very irregular, and he gives more mercy to demons than he does to devotees. So then we say, let's all become demons, and we get more mercy than if we're devotees. So then no one would follow bhakti anymore. Then we'll all be demons in the material world and get the mercy of Krishna. That way we advance.
No, but when the Lord is exalted, when he occupies somebody who is just standing on, there should be some transformation. There will be transformation.
They well, yes, so there's a response for any type of bhakti, as long as it's not offensive. But if it's just accidental, we won't expect the same response from the Lord as if one shows affection for the Lord. That means the person is more committed. So the Lord is more committed to that person who has more commitment. And if it's 100% commitment, then the Lord is under the control of that devotee. So that seems to be a natural type of response of the Lord. If it's the opposite, then no one would follow the process of bhakti. They would be stay away from it and get more mercy that way. Yeah, so the Lord doesn't force anybody. He gives karma yoga, gyan yoga, stanga yoga, bhakti yoga, and you can choose also. Yeah, so it's a matter of faith. If they develop faith due to mercy of devotees, accidental mercy of devotees, then they develop that faith and then they advance that way. And if they follow the other process, they get some sort of mercy of the Lord, but mercy to get those particular goals, that's all.
In the verse second line, this mentioned that avasha means even accidentally, you know, if someone chant the holy name, It is still agho nasha, means destroy all the karmas. And you know, so how to understand, normally in India we see many people has a name which is connected to the Krishna or
so they can destroy all their karmas, but the rule is also there should not be offense. So they have offensive mentality, then that will interfere and not all the karmas get destroyed.
What they are doing, they might not know it.
Huh?
What offense or not offense, they might not aware of the offense or anything. But still, they are ignorant. But still, there are some or other, you know, chanting the holy name indirectly or directly. You know, but still, there is a result for that.
Yeah.
He said that agho nashaha, destroy all that.
Yeah. So if they're not aware of the offense and they commit offense, of course, it can be of different sorts, and we can say how much they're not aware of that offense or whatever. So obviously, if they're not aware, it's less effect. If they are aware of it, then it's more offense. So they may offend a devotee. We don't like devotees, so I'll ignore him. So that would be offense. If they don't even know he's a devotee, but they ignore him, okay, it's an offense, but it's unintentional. So the less effect.
So in the case of Azami Lucy, although he was chanting, but he wasn't aware what he was doing, actually.
Yeah.
He wasn't aware, but still he destroyed all the karma.
But because there were no offenses.
Yeah.
He didn't think badly of devotees. He never mistreated devotees. He never insulted the Lord or thought he had a material form or anything. He didn't think anything. He was completely blank. But he had no offense, so therefore when he accidentally chanted, all of his sins, past, present, future, got destroyed.
What about this? If someone commit aparad also accidentally, but still, you know, Lord said, you know, because of his absorption in his lotus feet, Lord takes care of him. So how it happened? Because the person who is committing suffering, he feels some guilty.
No, but if it's unknown, he won't have any guilt because he doesn't even know what happened.
But he feels, suppose...
Well, then he knows about it.
But if he doesn't know about it,
but yeah, accidentally.
If he passes by somewhere and somebody gets offended, he made a noise, so I'm offended, and the devotee gets upset, he doesn't know about it, what is he supposed to do? He doesn't know about it, how can he be guilty of anything?
But in the case of Sanatana Goswami, in that story, you know, although he was not aware, but he was, you know.
So he didn't feel guilty about it, but he realized his bhakti began to decrease. So therefore, he went to his brother and he said there must have been some offense, therefore. So it was, he wasn't repenting his offense because he didn't know about it. But when he found out there must be offense, then he tried to figure out what the offense was.
But see, the intention of the devotion reduced. Although he was not aware.
So accidental offense also reduces the bhakti, I say. But intentional offense is much worse. It can even destroy your bhakti. Yeah, so that's the mad elephant offense.
Accidental offense seems to be very dangerous because we don't know that we have offended somebody.
Yeah, so therefore we just have to be as careful as possible and keep chanting.
So the term Mahavajanaya means that the Lord is choosing and according to His wisdom, naturally, He gives the mercy to anybody.
Well, ultimately you can do that, but generally the mercy increases as your bhakti becomes more sincere.
Rudra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.